Houston Texan legend and NFL great J.J. Watt hints at an end-of-the-year retirement in a heartfelt social media post. Cody and I take a look back at one of the more memorable Texans' careers.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, everybody, to a Wednesday episode of the Locked On Texan Podcast, a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm John Hickman, joined by Texans beat reporter Cody Davis, and today's episode is brought to you by Ultimate Football GM. Ever dreamed of becoming an NFL GM and managing your football franchise? Then this game is definitely for you. To download this game, just visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up on the App Store today. Our listeners get 100% free boost to their franchise using the promo code LOCKEDON in all caps in the game. Ladies and gentlemen, this show will be dedicated to the great J.J. Watt, Justin James Watt, mentioned on Twitter. Well, he had a Twitter post where he, first game. His last home game, hinting at retirement at the end of the year. Spent 10 years in Houston, 2 years in Arizona. One of the greatest defensive players we've ever seen. One of the funnest peak NFL players, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Dominant NFL defensive end that we've ever seen. And, you know, I go directly back, Cody, to the 2014 season. One of the greatest defensive seasons we've ever seen. 20 and a half sacks led the NFL. 29 tackles for loss led the NFL. 4 forced fumbles, 5 fumble recoveries, 1 return for a touchdown, 1 interception return for 80 yards. NFL Defensive Player of the Year. All pro that year. And I mentioned those 2 touchdowns that he had as an interception and fumble recovery, not to mention the 3 touchdown catches he also had that year. One of those years where you truly look back at the MVP award and race and question whether or not MVP actually stood for most valuable players. Because at that time, I don't think there was a more valuable player in the NFL than J.J. Watt. Never seen a hybrid defensive end playing both sides of the ball because his team desperately needed him. J.J. Watt.
Hell no. You know, you look back at the 2014 season. I actually want to look back at the 2012 season, the greatest season in franchise history, where the Houston Texans went 12-4. And once again, J.J. Watt had put together similar numbers as he did in 2014. That was actually the first time that he ended the season with 20 and a half sacks, literally similar numbers across the board. And by the way, he was a sophomore that season and basically took over the NFL. John, as you alluded to, one of the greatest, you say defensive lineman, I'm going to say one of the greatest players in NFL history. Absolutely. Yes, I understand. You know, there's a long list of lines that you have to talk about. But I do believe that you cannot talk about the NFL history. And you damn sure cannot talk about the NFL in the 2010s without bringing up J.J. Watt. Once again, one of the greatest players in league history, and if not the greatest player in franchise history, there's only one other player who can actually rival that title. And I'm pretty sure throughout the offseason, you and I are going to have a lot of the fun trying to consider whether or not J.J. or Andre Johnson is the greatest Houston Texan member of all time. But, John, shout out to J.J. Watt. I kind of figured something was brewing on Sunday, which marked his final home game as a member of the Arizona Cardinals. He walked off the field. He had tears in his eyes, and he looked really, really emotional. Now, we know we watched J.J. Watt for 10 years. We know he is an emotional guy. But for some reason, this one looked kind of different. And I thought to myself whether or not he was contemplating retirement at that moment. And I'm pretty sure going into that game, this is something that him and his family, by the way, just had a new baby. And I'm pretty sure that played into a big factor as to why he hung up his cleats. I.e. Tom Brady should learn something for that, but that's neither here nor there. But, you know, It always felt like this season was going to be J.J. Watt's last year. And given everything that this man has went through over the last 4 years, to be honest with you, John, and listeners, it's time. Early on in the season, you had a crazy, scary moment when you heard that Watt early on in the week had to get like his heart re-energized or something. And, you know, that was a scary moment. And I'm pretty sure that's probably the ultimate reason why we're sitting here talking about the pending retirement of JJ. But of course, 10 years with the Houston Texans, John. Once again, shout out to JJ. Love what JJ did for not only the Houston Texans, but for the city. But to be honest with you, I hate knowing that he's announcing his retirement as a member of the Arizona Cardinals, man.
Let me say something really quick. For one, to address that, I don't see a scenario where the McNair family doesn't make the call and say, listen, we're going to sign you.
It's not going to be the same.
Wait a minute. We're going to sign you to a one-day contract. We're going to bring you and your entire family, and we're going to not only make sure that you are a Houston Texan when you retire, I will go as far as saying that jersey number needs to be retired that day of, right? And when I look at J.J. Watt, I can only think of a couple of players that is in front of him when I look at the more unlikely heroes in NFL history. We look at unlikely heroes, the definition are, you know, unlikely heroes are often forced into the hero role, usually by circumstances beyond their control, and they do not go seeking danger or adventure. And it normally comes looking for them. Well, when we look at J.J. Watt being the Houston Texans unlikely hero based on those characteristics, forced into the hero role in terms of J.J. Watt came into a situation where he was not the face of the franchise. Andre Johnson was still in his prime. Arian Foster in his prime. And they even drafted Brian Cushing a season or two before J.J. Watt got to Houston. So they already had prime players and a young prime player. But then he was forced into the role the moment they made it to the playoffs, the moment that 2011-2012 Bengals playoff game interception and the stadium was just electric. That was the moment he became the franchise. The very next year, the defensive player of the year in his sophomore year, that just was the stamping. Like, he is the hero of this franchise now. Wasn't necessarily embraced originally at the draft. Right, we can go back and look at some of these videos of guys booing and just why JJ. So he's in a situation where he is not necessarily in a place where he can control what's going on. He's drafted somewhere, he doesn't pick where he's going. But in that, okay, now we look at a couple of years later again, defensive player of the year 3 times, a phenomenal rookie year. What he's doing in that 2014 year where there was a debate on whether or not he was the MVP. Guys, I've never seen an offense or a franchise prioritize both sides of the ball around J.J. Watt, using him, lining him up as a tight end, which he did have some experience in that coming into college before he went to Wisconsin, you know, played tight end before transferring as a walk-on in Wisconsin. But the guy was going out in seasons getting 20 sacks and also lining up and running fade routes. We don't see that from a defensive end. We just don't see that. And we look at peak prime players. A lot of people would like to argue in this past decade that Aaron Donald was the better defensive player that they see. And I'm going to be honest with y'all, guys. I'm a huge Aaron Donald fan. But when I look at the peak prime of J.J. Watt, I don't see too many defensive players better than J.J. Watt. I just don't necessarily see that. And in those 3 years between 2012 and 2015, 3 defensive player of the years, 4 first team all pros, MVP votes in 2014, 69 sacks, 119 tackles for loss, 41 pass breakups, and 15 forced fumbles. J.J. Watt was a menace defensively, dominant defensively. Oh, and once again, the Houston Texans lined him up because they needed points. He was able to get 5 touchdowns in 1 season, man. Watching J.J. Watt and spending time seeing guys go through memory lane and just acknowledging the greatness of J.J. Watt, which Cody and I will get to. We're going to talk about our favorite moments. That was special for a franchise that doesn't have a lot of special moments right now. I know J.J. Watt plays for Arizona, man, but seeing a lot of fans just go through the highlights and the good times with J.J. Watt being plastered everywhere lets you know how impactful that man was. And, oh, by the way, Hurricane Harvey, over $30 million raised for the city of Houston. So I get where you're coming from. You hate that he's technically a Cardinal, but, man, as a Houston Texan, J.J. Watt was the guy. I'm really geeked out by our new partner and sponsor of today's show, the mobile game Ultimate GM. You ever dreamed of becoming an NFL general manager and managing your own football franchise? Well, your dream can come true, and this game is definitely for you. Manage every strategic aspect of your team, play through this season, and lead your team to glory. In this game, you'll be responsible for hiring the right coaches and coordinators, trading players, making draft picks, and navigating your franchise through free agency and the draft, including all of the ups and downs of a season. All of this in a challenging and realistic game world, Ultimate Football GM is completely free and playable offline. Play on the go as you want and when you want to. Locked On Texan listeners can get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using promo code Locked On in all caps in the game store. That's Locked On all caps to make sure you check it out today so you can get that 100% free boost over at ultimategm.com or look it up on the App Store. Welcome back in, Locked On Texans listeners and viewers out there. This is the J.J. Watt Wednesday show of the Locked On Texas podcast. The show is dedicated to J.J. Watt, one of the greatest NFL players, and I think the greatest Houston Texan of all time. And Cody and I will discuss the memorable moments from J.J. Watt's career, of course, Texan career. By the way, J.J. Watt has 9.5 sacks this season. 2 multiple-sack games, a 3-sack game, a 2-sack game. J.J. Watt was not bad for Arizona, and it sucks that Arizona has went through the carousel of, you know, coaching issues and trust there between the head coach.
Stayed in Houston for all that.
You're right, especially with Kyler Murray and the must-watch film clause in his contract. Kyler Murray's in and out of the lineup due to injury. Your backup quarterback is in and out of the lineup due to injury. And your buddy DeAndre Hopkins, he comes in 6 games late. The Arizona Cardinals has had a disastrous season, kind of like the last year in Houston that J.J. Watt had, but 9.5 sacks on the year. And another thing I would like to add.
Oh, by the way, I'm sorry to cut you off, by the way, but if he does get at least 0.5 sack in these final 2 games, this will mark his 6th season in the NFL with double-digit sacks.
I'm pulling for
it. I am too.
If you guys remember when Michael Strahan broke the sack record, if you guys remember what Brett Favre did, Brett Favre essentially allowed him to do it. Like, he came out and just lay down and allowed Michael Strahan to
touch him. I don't consider that a sack.
That's a sack. But I could see this happening in the last couple of games for J.J.
Don't get it like that, J.J. Get it like how you got all the other 111 and a half in your career.
Yeah, I was about to say, I could also see J.J. Watt just working his ass off to get that accomplishment. And, you know, what I wanted to mention earlier in the first segment was J.J. Watt was a guy that put faith and belief in the fans, which helped put those butts in the seats for the stands for the NRG. Because when J.J. was at the prime of his career, you could literally hear the NRG blocks away if that dome was open due to the electricity that was filling that arena. Go to the memorable moments, Cody. Number one for me, the 80-yard Buffalo interception on EJ Manuel. That was double sweet for me because one of my best friends really liked EJ Manuel's coming out of high school, out of college, and I was against it. I was a Geno Smith guy, so to see J.J. Watt get an 80-yard touchdown interception pick six on EJ Manuel was amazing. The entire turn down for Watt era of the Houston Texans. Remember when JJ, this was before he kind of got to a point in his career where winning was the priority. And this was around maybe up until Deshaun's 2nd season. But remember fun JJ Watt was when JJ Watt was in his prime and JJ would hit the, you know, and the turn down for Watt. That was phenomenal football and that entire era of J.J. Watt, the Bengals 13-9, Deshaun Watson's first start game, the Bengals was trying to score on the last second play. Andy Dalton tosses it back to center Russell Bolden, and J.J. Watt just spears the guy at the end of the game. It was big on big, big body on big body. They toss it back trying to make something happen, and J.J. Watt clears them like a Goldberg type of spear. The fade route during the robbed MVP year of 2014. That was the moment where I sat back on my couch. I was in Beaumont, Texas that year, watching this man play football. And I just did one of those lean backs on the couch, looking at the screen after he caught it, because it went to a review and it was reviewing it for a moment. And I thought to myself, if they call this a touchdown, which I thought it was, I don't see how anybody can compare to the MVP year that he's currently having. And that was a catch. And again, you don't see hybrid defensive ends too many times in the league. But then I go to the playoff sack, because I know this is on yours as well, against Bills quarterback Josh Allen on 3rd and 8, forces a field goal, and Houston goes on a 22-6 run. They had not scored until that point. They took them out of touchdown, got the field goal, and the Texans defense goes fumble, punt, turnover on downs, and field goal from that moment on. That sack electrified, energized that Houston Texan team, and they went on to beat the Buffalo Bills. Deshaun Watson doing the Houdini slip out over to Tywan Jones that got it down all the way down to the red zone so they can get a score in overtime.
That's not only my favorite moment in the career of J.J. Watt. It's probably my all-time favorite game in Houston Texans history. Because what I love most about that is the fact that that game signified what J.J. Watt meant for this organization for an entire decade. Because, John, as you just alluded to it, the Texans were down, 16-0? What was it, 18-0? At the time he got that sack on Josh Allen, and it not only electrified the crowd, but it actually brought some life to the Houston Texans. And that is what he meant to this organization. And not to mention, he wasn't even supposed to play in that game. Because remember, that was the same season where he had the torn pectoral muscle. I believe it happened on either a Thursday or a Sunday night primetime game against the Oakland Raiders, I believe. And remember, he left the game, I believe it was at halftime, and he ended up announcing that his season was over. The Texans were still able to finish the season with a 10-6 record. They got the wild card spot. And then we started hearing rumblings that J.J. might come back for the playoffs. J.J. might come back for the playoffs. And everybody, including us here, our first year covering the Houston Texans on Locked On Texans, by the way, was like, there's no way J.J. will be able to come back for the playoffs. Not only does he come back, but he contributes to the point where it solidified his stance as to why he has been this team, this franchise, most important figure for over a decade. And I love moments like that. John, my second favorite moment was literally witnessing J.J. Watt's first career sack. And of course, it came against my New Orleans Saints. It was late in the second quarter. The Texans, at the time, they were up by, I think, 10 or something points. And J.J. Watt literally just, like he did throughout his entire career, blew rush the middle and got a nasty sack on Drew Brees. And not only that, the fact that it was inside the Superdome, J.J. Watt did his first career salute to the crowd in New Orleans. By the way, it's okay because, you know, the Saints still end up losing that game. I believe the ending score was like 43-38. But from that moment on, I kind of figured that J.J. Watt was something special, because at that time, 3 weeks into his rookie campaign, we were still trying to see what is J.J. Watt going to be. As you mentioned earlier on in the show, he wasn't favorite when he first came here to the city of Houston. But after that first career sack, I said to myself, man, J.J. might be something special. And to know that he is one of the top defensive players in NFL history, of course, one of, if not his best attribute, getting after the quarterback, knowing that I was there witnessing that But I think those two moments solidified what J.J. Watt meant for this organization and who he is, not only as a person, but also as one of the greatest players in NFL history.
Absolutely. You know, one of my, you know, to add, if I can have an addition, the beef between J.J. Watt and defensive coordinator from a couple of years ago, it really the entire coaching staff that bad year, Bill O'Brien and Anthony Weaver.
why did you bring that whole season up?
You know, I'm going to tell you why I love that. That was J.J. Watt basically saying, we suck. And y'all ain't doing nothing about it. That's basically what that was. This episode is brought to you by Audible. Audible is releasing a slate of new football podcasts that we're sure you are going to love. That's why you'll be able to find it, an episode from the league available as a bonus episode on Locked On NFL, narrated by Super Bowl champion and legendary smack talker Richard Sherman and sports broadcaster and rising star Taylor Rooks. The League is an 8-part docuseries about the most bizarre, inspirational, and unlikely stories connected to America's favorite sport, pro football. Head over to Locked On NFL for a bonus episode of The League or catch the full series wherever you get your podcasts, available now. Audible, hey man, everybody, let's go ahead and let's get in the game. Thanks for making the Locked On Texans your first listen today. Now make your second listen, the Locked On Sports Today podcast with Peter Bukowski, who brings the biggest stories from around the sports world in 20 minutes. Get the analysis and opinions before anyone else with your local and national experts and insiders. Locked On Sports Today podcast, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. So Cody and I had an interesting conversation during the break. I want to pose this question, right? And I want you guys to answer it, then we'll address it on tomorrow's episode. Whether or not J.J. Watt is among the top four on Houston's Mount Rushmore.
It's not as easy as you think, ladies and gentlemen, because the city of Houston, even though they only got four championships to show for it, they have had a lot of greats come through the city.
And if you are born and raised from Houston, saying Vince Young in high school isn't that far-fetched, by the way. I'm just saying that. But life after football for J.J. Watt looks like what?
I think once he retires in February, or well, in January, that's his last game will be against the San Francisco 49ers. Week 18, Arizona will be in San Francisco that day, so that will be his final game in the league. Honestly, I think the first year or two, J.J. will, you know, lay low with his family, his wife, his newborn baby, and, you know, just enjoy life, taking time for himself. But at some point, I do believe that J.J. will start to explore getting into coaching or becoming an advisor. And I kind of hate to say this because this is kind of similar to what they was trying to do with Andre Johnson, but we know that was literally when things really started to unravel for the Houston Texans and it didn't work out for him. But I could truly see Cal McNair, especially if he's trying to fix the relationship between this organization and his fan base and just try to fix this organization as a whole, is to create like an advisory staff with some prominent players in history. Because I know J.J. is still going to be around this organization after he retires. Like, I'm pretty sure come training camp in July and August, we're going to see him. I'm pretty sure, you know, they're going to have a big celebration for him inside of NRG Stadium come whatever week of the 2023 campaign. But because this franchise has been so broken, especially with so many of the past players, including J.J. Watt himself, you know, showing their frustration with this organization, at some point, I could see him working with this organization, doing something. I don't want to say coaching, but advisor or something. Whatever he does to get his hand back into football is going to be with the Texans. Like, there's no other team nor the place he can actually do it.
Man, listen, I don't know. Actually, I think this is a good question because I think we're seeing more NFL players come back from out of retirement. You know,
He's not coming back.
We've seen it with Tom Brady. We've seen it with Cole Beasley. We've seen it with T.Y. Hilton. So we're seeing it. And you never know what's going on with some of the players, former players, when they're a couple of months removed from the NFL. I can see J.J. Watt really just being at home for some moment, for some time, right? Newborn, he's a country boy, and he has always come off as a guy that, you know, loves family, right? But just like you, Cody, I can see after some time, and maybe not after too much time, where he is in Houston, in the building, you know, and this is a franchise that Anthony Weaver was a former player. He was on the coaching staff at one point. We've looked at some of the other, you know, Wes Welker was on his coaching staff at one point. You know, a couple of other players on his coaching staff at one point. What other player to have around outside of J.J. Watt should you want? So I can see J.J. Watt being around this franchise in some capacity or role. I don't want to necessarily put a stamp on what it would be, but I can see him being around. You alluded to an advisor. I can see him being on the coaching staff or some part of an advisory team. But life after football, you know, that's a great question. Again, you never know with how players are coming back. Gronkowski did it to the NFL after retirement. Whatever it is, I'm hoping J.J. Watt gives himself an opportunity to give his body the time and his mind the time to get some rest in after one of the more memorable careers in NFL history. I'm John Stone, Sports Guy Hickman. It's Cody Davis, man. We signing it off on a J.J. Watt Wednesday episode of the Locked On Texans podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Texans and also subscribe to the Locked On Texans YouTube page as well.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, peace.